If you've not been paying attention to WCC basketball for the last, say, 4 or 5 months, have no fear. We're going to do a quick roundup of the WCC going into the WCC tournament so that you have everything that you need to know in a short, short video. And we're going to start going from the 9 seed Pacific. 0-16 in conference play. Mo Odom is a solid point guard, averages 4.6 assists a game. He's hit a couple of game winners this season. Someone to look out for. Donovan Williams, one of their better players, also back. He missed a few games in conference play, but they are better with him. Judson Martindale, another guy you have to look out for, 37% from three-point range. But this is a team that has no double-digit scorers. Leonard Perry, their head coach, was reassigned within the university. This is not a good team. Don't expect them to get by round one. Pepperdine, 5-11 in conference play, tied with both LMU and Portland. This team also has gone through a coaching change. This will be the last couple of games or last go-around for Lorenzo Romar. He will be moving away from the program at the end of the season. Houston Mallett is also another one of those guys who has already been announced to be leaving for the portal. So it'll be the last time to see him in those in that blue and orange. Michael Ajayi led the WCC in scoring with nearly 18 points a game. Great transfer in from the community college level. Javon Porter, one of the better prospects that we had going into the year. He missed a ton of time at the early part of the season, only played 19 games on the year. But once he was back, 15.8 points per game, 5.7 rebounds, still one of the better talents in the WCC. A ton of talent on this Pepperdine team, but they have still yet to be able to transfer that into it to the win-loss record. I don't expect them to get very far, probably past that round one, but I don't expect them to go much further. 7 seed, LMU. This team has just been ravaged by injuries all year long. Whether that be Kelo, Pepe, Rick Asanza, we've seen Dom Harris, the Gonzaga transfer, miss games as well. Justin Wright has missed games. It goes on and on and on. This team has been banged up all year long, all season long, and it shows. They have not been able to get on any sort of roll, have any sort of consistency. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. They did get a massive win just the other night against San Diego. Alex Merkvaladze has been maybe the most consistent guy on their roster, but again, they're still trying to figure out that movement, that consistency that they've been missing all year long. Win right, win healthy, they are dangerous. They're still one of the more dangerous teams in the WCC, but right now they are struggling, and it's just kind of snowballed. Only 7 scholarship players available the last few weeks of play. Portland also at 5-11 in WCC play. Maybe one of the more disappointing teams all season long, but they've picked up 2 wins in the last week of the season, both against against LMU, and then also against Santa Clara, which was an upset in this last week of the season. Tyler Robertson continues to do what he does. He is 16 points per game, 4 rebounds, 3.7 assists on the season, continues to be one of the better players in the WCC. Juanse Gorosito had a great week. He had 26 points against LMU on Saturday, 11 points per game in conference play, 37% from three-point range. He is also a guy to watch out for once we get to Las Vegas. And Tyler Harris, we'll see if he plays, how much he plays, if he does at all. One of the better freshmen in the WCC. He's only played 7 games in conference play, 9.9 points per game, 6 rebounds a game in those contests. And he has been a factor all season long for Portland, but we just haven't gotten to see much of him once we flip the calendar to 24. Number 5, San Diego. San Diego finished 7-9 in conference play, and this was a team that was expected to finish 8th. They climbed all the way up to that 5 spot. They have wins against Santa Clara. They were able to clean up pretty well against the bottom half of the league. Deuce Turner, WCC 6th man of the year, 15.8 points per game, 37% from three-point range. This guy is a walking bucket, and he will turn it on in a heartbeat if you let him. Kevin Patton Jr., one of the better freshmen in the league, was on the WCC freshman team, just announced the other day. 10.9 points per game, 3.9 rebounds, 2.6 assists in conference play. One of the better young guys, one of the more athletic young guys in the WCC. Stephen Jamison II, another guy you really have to watch out for on the San Diego squad. 10 points, 8 rebounds a game, over a block per contest. Another guy for Steve Lavin and his squad that has been able to just get better and better as the season gone along. The San Diego team is interesting. They could make a run. They're on the right side of the bracket if they're going to do so. The San Diego team, you can't overlook them. The four seed, Santa Clara, 10-6 going into the WCC tournament. Adama Alpha Ball has been one of the better players in the WCC, the transfer from Arizona. He ended up averaging 14.5 points per game. He has struggled quite a bit since coming back from injury, but we're still waiting to kind of see him get back into really what was one of the more dynamic players in the WCC all season long. We saw him step up big in the biggest games of the year, whether it be Gonzaga, Oregon, Washington State. He came up big in the biggest moments. Carlos Marshall Jr. is another guy, his backcourt mate, another one who has just been more or less, he was great early on and has struggled since battling more injuries later on in the season. He did miss all of last year with injury as well. So this is a backcourt who's still trying to find their rhythm again. They may just find it going into Vegas as they start to play back-to-back games. Johnny O'Neill is another guy you have to watch out for. He's maybe one of the X factors for Santa Clara. 11 points per game, 5.6 rebounds, a good three-point shooter from the four spot. He's able to stretch the floor and give Santa Clara some more options, and he's able to go inside and out. So he is a threat both on the post and on the perimeter. And this is one of the bigger teams in the entire country. If you haven't paid attention, this team has 3 7-footers. They have five guys 6'10" or taller. This is a squad that's going to beat you up inside. They're going to be able to take advantage there, especially against some of the smaller teams in the WCC. And Santa Clara, when they're right, they can beat anybody. And we'll be able to see if they can start to tie that all together once we get to the tournament start. 3 seed, USF, San Francisco, 11-5 in conference play. Jonathan Mobo ended up being the newcomer of the WCC newcomer of the year. Led the team in points, rebounds, block, and steals, 14 points per game, 10 rebounds a contest, 1.7 steals a game. That 10 rebounds a game is also led the WCC in that category. He also had 3.5 assists per contest. He was kind of Mr. Do-It-All for USF and was a huge lift for what they needed. They missed some post presence last year. They got it in Mobo this year. Marcus Williams, stepping into a bigger role this year, did not disappoint. 13.9 points per game, was also on the WCC first team going into this week. Malik Thomas, another one of the transfers coming in from USC, 11.5 points per game. He really came on strong the latter half of non-conference play and has continued to do so going into WCC play. He had a good game against Gonzaga just last week, even if the Dons did kind of fall apart there in the second half. This Dons team has had close calls against Gonzaga, St. Mary's, Utah State, Boise State. The list goes on that they've kind of been just close enough to not be good enough. They're very much on the outside looking into the NCAA tournament. They're probably going to be an NIT team unless they make a huge run in this tournament. I think the only way in is for them to win the whole thing. And because of the side of the bracket they are on, that's likely going to have to be Gonzaga and then St. Mary's for the Dons to have a shot at their second tournament appearance in the last 3 years. For Gonzaga, they are the 2 seed going into the WCC tournament, 14-2. They have the 10th best adjusted offensive rating via KenPom, and they are rolling right now. 8 straight wins going into Las Vegas. They won big at USF, big at St. Mary's just a week ago. Graham E.K. is the leading scorer in WCC play, just over 18 points per contest, 7 rebounds a game. This is a guy who seems to just be getting better and better and better as the season has gone along and as he's gotten more comfortable in the Gonzaga system. It took him a little bit of time early on to kind of figure out what that role was, but he has very clearly started to be the guy and is taking over for the Zags. Ryan Nemhard is also one of those guys we expected early on in the year, and maybe there was kind of a little bit of a, not a letdown, but a kind of a pause on the expectations of him mid-season, but very clearly he is back to being one of the best, if not the best point guard in the WCC, which is what we expected to see beforehand. He had 20 points, 10 assists against St. Mary's the other night. He is also one of those guys, like we talked about Adama Ball, who steps up in the biggest games. We saw that last year when he was still at Creighton. We're starting to see that at Gonzaga more and more. This Gonzaga team has locked themselves into the NCAA tournament at this point. Every bracketologist has them in. The one flaw early on, if you looked at them midseason, I was like, oh, they're not the same Gonzaga team. Guess what? They're the same Gonzaga team. It just took them a while to get there. They had no Q1 wins early on. They now have three going into Vegas. They have opportunity to get a fourth if they see St. Mary's again in the final of the WCC tournament. This Gonzaga team is trending in the right direction, and they are a team that nobody's going to want to see, not only in Vegas, but also in the NCAA tournament. St. Mary's, they are the one seed going into the WCC tournament. At 15-1, they were the outright WCC champion. Back-to-back WCC championships for the first time since 11-12. This St. Mary's team, as we have seen the last few years, is anchored by their defense. This is the 17th best defense, adjusted defensive rank via KenPom. This team has been led by Mitchell Saxon, who was the defensive player of the year. You talked about Augustus Marshallonis, who ended up winning WCC player of the year. Within conference play, 14 points per game, 6.5 assists, 1.5 steals. This St. Mary's team started really poorly, but rolled off 18 straight wins to get to where they are. I think it was 16 straight wins, excuse me, to get to where they are today, to build that resume back up, to build that winning streak back up, to build the confidence back in this program. They were left for dead back in late November, early December, and they crawled their way back to a WCC championship, claiming the championship that the coaches did pick them for before the season began. So it does look like, as we've started to see both Gonzaga and St. Mary's, the struggles that they both had early on in the year, we are exactly where we thought we would be with both of these programs. Both of them are locks for the NCAA tournament. Now it is about seeding for these two. Can St. Mary's get their first WCC tournament championship since 2019? Gonzaga is looking for their third straight tournament champ. Tournament championship going into March Madness, which is only a few weeks away. This has just been a quick recap of every WCC team. I'll be putting out more content throughout the course of the week, but be sure to hit that subscribe button here on the unofficial WCC Hoops podcast YouTube stream, and also do that on Spotify and all your streaming services, and then also on Twitter at Post by Zach. Follow me there as well. This, again, quick WCC recap. We'll see you in Vegas, and the tournament starts on Thursday.